Now, today is the last day of 2023, and some of us may look back at 2023 as a year that we may be proud of because we have achieved a few milestones. Now, some of you may look back at 2023 with some regrets. You wish you had achieved more, if only you can turn back the clock. But no one can turn back the clock. We cannot relieve our good times, nor can we go back and undo some of our mistakes. We can only go forward. We can't go back. Now, we do not know what 2024 may bring. Some of you may face challenges at the workplace. Some may face health issues of various kinds. Some may face exam hurdles. Some may face career changes. So let us learn from King David through one of his Psalms. So if you open your Bibles with me, let us look at Psalm 62, verses 5 to 12. When we look at this Psalm, we're going to learn this main point, and it's this: that Christians are to find rest in the Lord and not depend on their own strength. So that's the main thing we're going to learn this morning. And I want to thank Brother Bernard for choosing some appropriate songs lined up for the message. Now, I'll give you the outline of the sermon. It's as follows, two sections. First is to hear God's voice within us. That's in verses 5 to 8 of Psalm 62. The second section is know our limitations. That's in verses 9 to 12 of Psalm 62. So let's now look at Scripture. I give to you the first section of verses 5 to 8. I read to you. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. As always, it is good to look at the background of this section. Now, the writer of Psalm 62 is attributed to be none other than King David. In Psalm 62, verses 3 and 4, that precedes our passage this morning, we are offered some clues about the conditions faced by King David. He faced enemies that threatened to topple him from a lofty height. Now, this was perhaps a reference to the fact that at that time, King David was sitting on the throne, and he had enemies wanting to dethrone him. Also, he knew he could not trust many people, because in verse 4, we were told, with their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. His enemies were waiting to assault him. So David even questioned his enemies in verse 3, asking them, how long will you assault me? David recognized that his position was precarious, like that of a leaning wall or a tottering fence in verse 3. So that's the background. Now, we may not be sitting on a throne, but David's condition is something that some of us can identify with. Perhaps you could be running a business and you face increasing competition and you're feeling stressed. You could be feeling bullied by friends and classmates who laugh at your social media posting attempts. You find it hard to keep up with their number of likes, their number of followers, and maybe they have better social media content that you have. Or you could be facing a life-threatening illness and you're seeking various different medical opinions with all the different treatment options. and you need help, but you do not know where to turn to or who to turn to, and you fear making the wrong decision. All these are threats, stresses. So let's rest in God, which we will find in verses 5 to 8. When we are faced with challenges, what do most of us do? Well, we automatically tell ourselves to think positively, don't we? We tell ourselves not to panic. We tell ourselves to just stay focused, get a grip on yourself. We tell ourselves not to be overcome by what lies ahead. Isn't that true? Now, I know I give myself pep talks like that so that I do not lose faith in myself and my capabilities. When we do that, however, we are falling into the ways of this world that tells us that we can overcome difficulties if only we stay positive and trust our own instincts. And that's because the world we live in thrives on the strength of the individual. The importance of positive thinking is very much in our culture. But David knew better. He resisted the temptation on trusting in his own strength and abilities. He resisted in thinking that since he was a king, he had the power that he could defend himself. David resisted listening to his own voice, telling him he was okay, he could cope. Instead of listening to himself, David wanted to listen to God's still small voice within him. Instead of trusting in his own capabilities, David recognized that his hope comes from the Lord. He recognized that his rest would be found in God, not from his position as king, not because he had a king's power, a king's resources at his disposal. As an example, Deacon Pocho and I, we met up with a friend of ours not too long ago. We met up for a meal. And this friend shared with us all her challenges. For one, she had multiple health issues, not just for herself. Her husband and her daughter had their own health issues. So three in a family of four were not well. She faced business challenges, and she admitted she was stressed out. She would wake up, she would not feel rested. That was because she found that all her problems would come flooding back the moment she woke up, and her mind was not rested. She was always worried. And that was when she realized she had been leaning upon her own strength. She was allowing herself to be weighed down by all her challenges. Does it sound familiar? She was listening to her own voice, not God's voice within her. So she turned to God. She prayed to the Lord to give her rest and to help her with all her challenges. She told the Lord she was willing to surrender all her challenges, all her problems and health issues, and she was willing to let the Lord direct her paths from that point onwards. That same night, she told us, she slept well. She slept soundly for the first time in some months. In the days ahead, she learned to tackle one health issue at a time, whether it's her own health or her husband's or her daughter's. She refused to be overwhelmed. She trusted in the Lord. She learned to tackle her business problems in the same manner, one at a time. She no longer panicked because she knew that God was in control, not her. She had learned to rest in the Lord. In verse 6, David wrote, "Truly, he," meaning God, "is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress." Now, in some versions of the Bible, not the NIV, David wrote, "God only is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress." Now, I personally like the use of the word only in these versions because many people, they do not think of God as their only rock and salvation. Many people are tempted to lean on others when they face challenges. Many people turn to things or people for false assurances, and they sometimes become disappointed when people or things that they depended on fail them. David tells us that God is the only rock. He's the one who never fails us. He's always dependable. He, God, is the one we are to trust in absolutely. Now, this failure to trust in God alone is not a new problem. In the Old Testament, we have people like the prophet Isaiah who repeatedly warned the Jews, the people of Israel, to turn to God. Now, Israel at that time was facing many threats from the surrounding enemy nations. But you know what? Instead of trusting God, whom they cannot see, the people at the top in Israel decided to make alliances with Egypt and Assyria, two superpower nations at that time, for their protection. They placed their trust on Egypt and Assyria because they could see that these two nations had large armies rather than turn to God, who is spirit, whom they could not see. But history tells us that Israel's hope in these two nations were wrong. Both Assyria and Egypt turned out to be enemy nations in disguise. So in verses 7 to 8, David reminds us all that God is. He is our refuge. We can trust in Him at all times. David also reminded us that God is our fortress. Now, there is a difference between standing outside and looking at a fortress. It's different from being inside a fortress where you're safe and secure. David reminds us that God is our fortress. When we seek His refuge, we will find ourselves inside safely. He is our fortress. Now, what does a fortress do? A fortress has high walls. It protects us. It keeps its occupants safe from its enemies. And that means that we can trust God to cast His protective hand and shield us from all harm. Now, we can see a classic example of this even in news videos of the current war in Gaza. Now, there are many Palestinian Christians, even in Gaza, and there are also foreigners who were caught up in the conflict between the Israeli forces and Hamas. And so what do these Palestinian Christians and foreigners do when they're caught in the crossfire? What they do is they find shelter in the few Palestinian churches that remains in Gaza, knowing that these churches would get some form of protection from the targeted bombing by the Israeli armed forces. Now, the war has been going on since October, and a few of these churches remain as safe shelters for its occupants amidst a wasteland of destruction. So there's a physical idea of safety inside a fortress. So that gives me the first key truth I want to leave with you from this section. And that's this. God is our only rock, salvation, and fortress. As an example, we know someone who is very career-minded. Whenever he faced problems at work, he would try to solve problems on his own or with the help of his colleagues. Only when all else failed, he would try praying to God. Without realizing it, this man was treating God as just one of his many rocks to use in times of trials. God is certainly not his only rock. Now we contrast that with another person we know, and this person treats God as his only rock. He surrenders his career to God, and he admitted that without seeking a promotion, God had granted him favor in his career when he put God first in his life over his career. He was promoted. He was surprised. To this person, God is his only rock, salvation, and fortress. So now the questions for you to think about before we close on this section is this. In your desire to climb the corporate ladder, do you rely on your own ability to please your boss? Do you rely on how well you can shine in front of your bosses? And do you try to take credit at every opportunity just to get ahead? Or do you do your work conscientiously, quietly, and trust your career progress to the Lord? Which best describes you? Trusting in God requires faith in God, whom you cannot see. Do you always put your faith in God, or do you naturally put your faith in people or things you can see? Remember, in this world we live in, there may seem to be many options to tempt us to put our faith and trust in. But there is only one God. He's our rock, salvation, and fortress. Now let's move on to the second section. I give you verses 9 to 12. I read to you. Surely the low-born are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weigh on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. So your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. So I'm now going to give you the main points from this section. And it's this. Know your limits. That's in verses 9 and 10. Now David in these verses presented some examples of how people delude themselves by thinking that they can manage on their own or on what life has to offer them. Now David in verses 9 and 10 used purposely poetic language in his examples. Many people in the world think that if they have money, power, position, they would have no problems. They think they're in full control of their lives. In verse 9, David reminded us that whether a person is lowly born or born with a silver spoon in their mouths, in the final analysis, no one is in full control. No one can predict when they will die, whether rich or poor. They may die tomorrow. There's nothing they can do about it. Riches and wealth cannot buy health for anyone. As an example, you look at Steve Jobs. He was one of the richest men on earth at that time when he was the CEO of Apple. But then he became ill. He died. None of his wealth could help him prolong his lifespan. In verse 10, David reminded people not to depend on ill-gotten gains in order to get ahead in life. Now, the world's culture often tells us that it does not matter how you get to the top. When you get to the top, those at the top make all the rules. You hear that, right? This means that the ones who have the power, they make the rules. So that's why people may bend the rules, they cut corners, just so they can get ahead in life. Ask every politician. It's a slippery road to the top, and they all try to climb it. We too sometimes buy into this kind of wrong thinking. How many of us have taken perhaps longer lunch hours away from work so that we can try to run some personal errands? In so doing, in fact, we are really stealing from our bosses. How many of us have done things at work we know we should not do, so long as our bosses do not know it? How many of us have encouraged our children to work hard so that they could get to the top in life? In verses 9 and 10, this is David's way of telling us that the world's culture is full of lies. The world's culture tells us to trust in power, in position, in money. It tells us to trust in our own streetwise resources to get ahead in life. If we do not do it, others will. They will walk all over us. Why be so stupid? But David reminds us that such thinking are lies, that they deceive us. We are to know our limits. Ask people like Steve Jobs. He may seem to have the world in the palm of his hands, but where is he now? Still in the grave. That's the final destination for everyone. David wanted us to know our limitations and to recognize and accept the way God has made us, imperfect, flawed people who are made to depend on him, not on our resources, not on our own street smart ideas. So then now we come to verses 11 and 12, where David tells us to turn to God. Now, how did David embrace his limits? We find that answer in verses 11 and 12. David reminded himself, he also reminds us, of who God is. God, he is the all-powerful God of the universe. God's love is unfailing, and God will reward us according to what we have done. And this is very sound advice from God. Sometimes I hear people say, I wish I have more energy. I wish I can do more. I wish I have more than 24 hours in a day. When people say words like this, it means that they're trying to do everything using their own strength. No wonder they end up tired and stressed. No wonder they want more energy. And sometimes I meet people who have perhaps been so taken in by the worldly culture that they find meaning and purpose in life through working hard, through rising to the top. Their career defines them. And sometimes I have parents tell me, I find parents telling me they are worried about their teenage children because their children have become addicted to computer games. They seem to get all their thrills from these games, and they are getting hooked. What should they do? Now, these are some examples of how people may perhaps have lost their way. They have followed the path many others have taken. Unknowingly, they have lost control of their lives. They are either addicted to computer games, addicted to their work, addicted to their jobs, and so on. And so they are exhausted because they have relied on their own strength. David tells us to prayerfully seek to know our own limits, to seek to know how God has made us, to rely on him. And God has made us to depend on him, not on ourselves. We are to turn to God. And so if you're currently addicted to some computer games, know your limits. You can't do it 12 hours nonstop, missing your meals. You can only do it for an hour or two. Listen to your parents. Now, those of you who go for regular workouts in a local gym, you will understand this example I'm going to give you. Now, many people think that if they go to a gym regularly, and if they only lift more weights, they will become more muscular. But that's not strictly true. Those who are interested in building muscles will know that in order to gain more muscle mass, they need to lift weights, that's true, but they also need to allow a period of rest in between so that the body can recover, can regenerate, and grow more muscle mass. And if someone just trains daily, nonstop, and never allow the body time to rest and recover, what will happen is that the body never recovers sufficiently to grow more muscles. It is not a question of more exercise, more activity, more weight. It's a question of more rest coupled with more exercise. We need to strike a balance. In the same way, David is telling us to know our limits and rest in the Lord. When we do that, when we recognize and accept our limits, we will turn to God. We will start depending on Him. So I want to leave with you the second key truth, and it's this. Turn to God, and you will find life. Outside of God, there is no life. I'll give you some examples. Now, many of you know this famous celebrity. The name is Coco Lee. And Coco Lee was a famous Chinese-American singer. Outwardly, she seemed to have all the fame, the beauty, and the fortune. But inwardly, she was insecure. Her marriage was on the rocks. She was in the midst of divorcing her husband, who had been unfaithful to her. She had tried to have children, but she failed. She also suffered personal health issues, including depression. And in July 2023, she was found unconscious at home from an overdose of antidepressants. She never regained consciousness. She died a few days later. She did not have a relationship with God. She tried to live life on her own terms, on her own strength, and outside of God, there is no life, only death. Now we contrast the example of Coco Lee with a 17-year-old son of one of our friends. Now this young man, he was born with Asperger's syndrome. Now this meant that he was often teased in school because he lacked some social skills. He was considered a nerd by some. Very introverted. He also had a fair share of cyberbullying as well by others who didn't know his true background of his medical condition. But his parents had brought him up to be loved and to depend upon God. He had learned from very young, and this is what his parents taught him, that his significance is found in being a child of God, not based on what people think of him, not based on what his schoolmates may joke or laugh at him about. And this helped this young man to grow with as normal a childhood as much as is possible. He's an example of someone who turned to God and knows that in God, he will find life. Now, the questions for us to think about is this. In what or in whom do you base your significance in life? Is it on the number of followers on your social media accounts, on Instagram, in the number of likes whenever you do a social media postings? Or do you draw your significance from the knowledge that you are God's child? Do you know the limits? Do you think you could do more if only you put more effort, more activity? Will you in fact turn to God instead and rest in Him in this new year? So brothers and sisters, as we step into a new year, when we pass midnight tonight, we really do not know what lies ahead of us. But let us follow King David's example by finding rest in the Lord and not depend upon our own strength, our own street smarts. Only then will we be able to face each new challenge that lies ahead, and we will emerge victorious and give God all the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the truth that lies in your word. Thank you for being our rock, our fortress, our salvation, and coming always to help us in our time of need. So help us, Lord, to surrender all our problems and our cares, knowing full well you are beside us, you are for us, you are rooting for us. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.